The Houston Texans added to the wide receiver room to help make up for the loss of Jaden Higgins. How much is too much booty? We'll find out on the Texans Collective.
The answer to that question is there's never enough booty. That's the answer to that's the answer to that question. Welcome in, everybody, on a Monday evening here on YouTube. It is the Texans Collective. Great to be with you on a day where just when you think we're going to settle in and talk some O-line and talk about the upcoming game and roster spot battles, and we'll talk about all those things. Nick Caserio out of left field with a trade of a name that came up on this very collective last week. So to the surprise of the Texans Collective, I guess, deal gets done for this player, but we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Good to be with all of you on a Monday night. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, help out our sponsors as well. We'll talk about them. You can see Prize Picks at the bottom right there. If you want to get in on that, promo code HMA. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on 95.7 The Fan. I caught myself. 95.7. For whatever reason, it's this collective where I always mess it up. On the radio, I'm good. But here, total screwball. 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. weekdays, by the way. Landry Locker, one half of SNL, of course, in the locker room with Landry Locker, as you can see in the neon moon behind him right there. The other half of SNL is Cody Stutes, Houston Football with Cody Stutes, and then Reggie Atatula, of course, of In the Loop, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 95.7 The Fan. Gentlemen, we had a nice show lined up. We all saw each other out at practice today and talking about the bullet points that we're going to put on the Texans Collective tonight. And then Nick Caserio drops a big grenade on the agenda. Part of it. We're still going to get to a lot of what we were going to get to. But a big trade for the Texans earlier today, a name that had come up on this show last week, and I'm sure on SNL and your guys' streams as well as In the Loop. Kayshon Booty. Traded to the Houston Texans from the New England Patriots. The details of the trade, Jalen Reed, second-year safety, goes to the Patriots along with a seventh-round pick in the 2028 draft. So really, it's for all intents and purposes, it's a Jalen Reed for Kayshon Booty trade. So this given where they are right now with no Jaden Higgins, this trade is kind of a big deal. So let's get initial reactions to this. What did you guys think when you heard the news? Were you surprised that this trade got done, when it did, that it did? Share your feelings here with the audience.
Second piece of booty Mike Vrabel's lost this offseason with Kayshon Booty. I like the cost. I like the fit. I think the mindset is right. That was one of the things I first reached out to a guy I trust that covers the Patriots the most. Closely, he said that the mindset is good. So he's definitely swarm. The system is similar. So it's an easy transition there. And he's a very low maintenance player, very efficient last year. I think Reggie probably knows it off the dome. I'd say, was it 43 or 46 targets and 33 catches? It was in his targets were in the 40s. He had 6 touchdowns and 33 catches, I want to say. So he's very low maintenance. In a number of ways. So I think it fits well. Some reports were that they initially offered a fourth-round pick. The Patriots wanted a fourth-round pick, and the Texans said no thanks. I think that's a smart decision. And I think the Texans get booty. And I do want to acknowledge that Jalen Reed's a good player. There's just kind of an embarrassment of riches at safety right now. And it makes the Kamari Ramsey draft pick make more sense because now you have a young safety that you trust to do some things. And I think you give Jalen Reed an opportunity to perhaps showcase his skills a little bit more. I actually think he could probably play closer to the line of scrimmage too. That just wasn't going to happen here with what they got. So I'm a big Jalen Reed fan. I was actually surprised they drafted him because I thought the safety depth was good at the time. It's gotten better. MJ Stewart looks like he's kind of intensifying, so he's going to be back. So I think you gave up a good player and you got a player at a position of need with little cost. So I think it's a really good trade by the Texans.
46 targets, 33 receptions, right?
Oh, nice job, Landry.
On top of that, while I'm being a stat guy, 16.7 yards per reception. Like, this is a real deep threat that you bring in. That's really the thing that was intriguing for me because I looked at Zay Jones and I was trying to, I was trying to squint because I'm like, look, man, I get it. Jaden Higgins is supposed to be a guy that helps you take the top off of a defense. And I was like, all right, Zay Jones, when he wasn't hurt when he didn't hurt his Achilles last year, definitely still ate up ground. I feel a lot better about Kayshon Booty doing that, right? Being able to go up and grab the football. And on top of that, His completion percentage, catch rate over expected is actually what I was looking for. Best of all qualified receivers last year. So this is a guy that absolutely like has done really well at the catch point, whether it's tight coverage, which obviously is something that might happen for him as a number two wide receiver. Plus, he has a little bit of versatility. You talk about the system and the familiarity that he has. That's great. But also, if you need him to play X, he can play X. And honestly, this allows you to continue to open up one of the things that I've been really excited that Nick Haley seems to be getting ready to do, which is moving Nico Collins around. That is still on the menu now with this addition, in addition to a few other things that that Kayshon Booty brings for you.
Booty, for me, like, Reggie, you hit it on the nail on the head. You lacked explosiveness from the outside options. Like, you have guys that can go out there and play. Like, Xavier Hutchinson can give you snaps. Justin Watson can give you snaps. Maybe Jared Wayne as well. And, like, Jalen Knoll has explosiveness, but Knoll's primarily an inside guy with, you know, you can move him around or do some things with him. But guys that could actually go out there and make big plays from the outside wide receiver, you didn't have that. And there weren't a lot of guys that you could go out there and go get. And you get Booty, and he does that. And, you know, you mentioned the stat, Reggie. That's a good – by the way, that number, better than Nico Collins last year. That number, only better than – like two or three wide receivers who regularly play better than Booty in that number last year. It gets a pretty significant element of his game that he brings to the table. And he plays outside. If you had to play him inside, you could, but that's kind of what he does. He's going to be opposite Nico Collins or with Nico Collins on the field. You could put him on the field with Jalen Knoll. He gives you an explosive element that you didn't have. And I just like the price because I wasn't interested in trading for Kayshon Booty when it was a mid-round pick in the 2027 draft, when it's a depth safety that was not going to start this season unless injuries occurred and a late-round pick two drafts from now, it's much easier to understand why you would make that deal, why you'd say yes, why you'd add him. So the price was absolutely right for this Booty, and I was pretty excited to see the explosive element added because – Zay Jones wasn't going to give you an explosive element. Sterling Shepard wasn't going to give you an explosive element. They were going to make the team. You know, the veterans that you brought in Friday, practice Saturday. I mean, not even rental. I hope it was one of those 1 week-long stay things that they're staying at because they're not going to be here after cutdown day. Booty is. He's going to help you, and you mix him in with what you have. It's not like an easy just one-for-one replacement. I think that's the biggest thing. But you mix him in and see what he can bring to the table.
Yeah. It wasn't Jed York in a trailer park level inexpensive Booty. Actually, that ended up being more expensive because he had to pay those fines and get a mugshot. So it wasn't that level. But it was pretty inexpensive, I would say.
I'm ready to go here if you want to, Sean. So I'm just going to be quiet.
Booty for Booty? To... You ready?
No, I'm just ready to go here to talk about the Jed York thing. That is not
I can put that.
$150, brother? Anyways.
Don't worry. I've got 20 minutes on it for tomorrow. Ted Johnson, he went to Notre Dame, by the way, Jed York. So, I'm going to play the Notre Dame fight song underneath it and the whole thing. Ted Johnson texted me today looking for information on Jalen Reed for his radio show up in Boston. Here's what he said about Kayshon Booty. Ted Johnson, former New England Patriot, former Sports Radio 610 host, who hosts in Boston now, for those who don't know. You guys got a really tough player. He's limited in what he can run on the route tree. Definitely a one-trick pony, but his one trick is really good. He's basically a nine-route guy with really, really strong hands, which I think matches up with what we're kind of saying here. And that certainly matches up with his yards per catch. The 16-plus yards per catch. So that was Ted's sort of scouting report on him. My thought about Kayshon Booty just in general as a player, I don't know if people remember, but when he was a freshman, he started right away because Jamar Chase opted out of the 2020 season. So he got bumped up right away as a freshman on that 2020 team following up that national championship team the year before. Going into the 2022 season, which was Brian Kelly's first year at LSU, if you go find mock drafts from that part of the calendar, and I know mock drafts in September are a bit of a fool's errand, but if you go back and look at that stuff heading into 2022, Kayshon Booty was thought to be a first-round pick by all the experts coming in, and he had a terrible first season under Brian Kelly. He was oil and water. He's not the first guy to be oil and water with Brian Kelly. My point is this guy's a really, really like talented, talented guy. And so I like that. I think he's going to be motivated too. If I'm not mistaken, if I'm doing the math, this is his contract year. This is a much better situation for him in a contract year than it was going to be playing behind A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs and whoever else they're throwing the ball to in New England. So I think this is a great opportunity for him. By all accounts, the Kayshon Boutte of 2026 is much more maturity and mentally wired to handle this opportunity than the one that got drafted in the sixth round and then came into the league and was the target of gambling investigations and things like that from his time at LSU. So I'm really excited about this. I like the fact that they're giving up a depth player who's really kind of still very unproven. I mean, Jalen Reed didn't play much last year. I was positive on Jalen Reed as a football player, but that was what they gave up instead of draft capital. I like that. I'm having a hard time finding anything to get upset about with this trade. I think it's a really good move by Caserio. This gives Kayshon Boutte time to kind of get acclimated to Houston. He knows the system. Like this is a nice runway that'll have to be ready to go full bore in week one.
Sean's gonna get a jersey. What size is the jersey gonna be?
Oh, buddy, Kayshon Boutte is gonna do an outsized amount of amount of sales just because of his name.
Yes,
I'm excited.
Like LJ Hose for the Astros a few years ago.
I'm excited, but I do very much still believe we're still gonna see a lot of Xavier Hutchinson on this football field. We're still gonna see Justin Watson out there on this football field because one of the things that those guys can do that. It doesn't seem to be a huge element of Booty's game is go out there and block. And we know how much they love to talk about blocking from the wide receivers. And, it takes 11 guys to run the football and all that kind of jazz. Like, you're still going to see Xavier Hutchinson on the football field and Watson. And you may even see those guys on the field instead of Boutte in spots where you think that he's going to be on there. Like, this is not, we'll just take what Jaden Higgins had and throw it on Booty's plate. That's not what this is.
No. And I'm not saying that either.
No, I'm not saying you are either. I think there's just an understanding of his of the expectation that I have for him.
No, but keep in mind, Cody, you were saying last week that you didn't think the Patriots would give him up to the Texans because he would help them. You know,
he's a better player than anybody else that they could have added in the world of realism. You know, EA Sports, it's in the game. You could have added Marvin Harrison Jr. and prime Randy Moss, but actual real world, like he was the best available option. But a week ago, I wasn't trading a fourth round pick for him. I told the Patriots to hit the bricks just like the Texans did.
Yeah, they weren't either. And I think that's the important thing is its value. Like the Boutte conversation was initially mid round pick and the Texans said no, and they said no. And the Texans gave them a productive player as well. To add to your scouting report, Sean, I pretty much got the same thing from my guy, Alex Barth, who's out there at the Sports Hub, like the real nerdy football guy. But the football stuff aside, I think another thing that Boutte brings, because I guess maybe it's kind of a stereotype with the position that is wide receiver, but when you hear was a really heralded recruit and had a scandal and now they're trading him because he's not getting playing time, like you would typically think, well, this guy might be a diva. He's really not. And that was the first thing he said. He said the first thing about him was he has a great approach mentally. He had a million reasons to check out this year, never did, was still mentoring the young guys and all that type of stuff. So I think he has kind of the mindset that they like. I think we go back to last year. I think a lot of us probably made fun of him and kind of rolled our eyes. But heading into that matchup, he was asked about the Texans defense. He said, yeah, I'm not really that impressed. It's man-to-man. You know what you're going to get. And I'm built like that too. So I'm ready to go. And I would say that probably a large chunk of people said, Kayshon Boutte's talking about Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter. Well, he had three catches for 75 yards, including mossing Derek Stingley for the second time in his career, by the way, with a one-handed catch. Also drew a flag on the sideline. It was a real physical presence. So I think the mindset is also something that that they're going to like about Kayshon Boutte. It's also going to be closer to home. So I'm sure he's probably happy about that. And I think that's something to add to the scouting report that I think you guys have covered very nicely with the explosiveness. And the contested catch thing is another thing that Reggie throws out there, because that's kind of what you were wondering about with Jaden Higgins is, you know, in the red zone when the space gets – there's less space and someone has to just go up and out-muscle someone, can they find someone to do that? And I think he has a possibility to do that. But it really just comes down to the fact that they didn't really have to give up a ton, or they gave up something that they, a position, an area that they feel good about with especially with MJ Stewart coming back. So it's not the mid-round pick. It's a guy that fits every question mark you would have. I think he checks the box.
I'm also intrigued to see if there isn't growth potential within his game. Like, as you mentioned, this is the end of his rookie deal. It's also worth considering that he only had really one year with a good quarterback. I know we could talk about Josh McDaniels and his ability to work offense. I think that there's growth clearly in the intermediate portions of the field in those routes. Like, obviously, he's got the deep routes down pat, but this team does really well on in-breakers. CJ does incredibly well on in-breakers. I'm interested to see if maybe they can bring him along on some of that and you get a little bit more from him in that regard than he has to this point.
The other thing that I'm noticing about CJ, and I brought this up today, like amidst like the interception in the end zone today, and this is completely, I think it's relevant, but it is like an observation that I've seen. For some reason, I thought last year CJ wasn't throwing the deep ball as well. It felt like a lot of them weren't catchable. It just didn't feel like he was throwing the deep ball as well as he did early on. It does feel like he's throwing the deep ball well again, including today. It ended up getting broke up, but it was a perfect toss to Nico Collins in the breadbasket. Kamari Lassiter batted down. Then he threw a dime to Hutchinson on the side. That's kind of what Booty does, one of his specialties. I don't think it was necessarily Higgins' specialty. I think Higgins was more like a close quarters type or like, little bit shorter, but as far as like the deep ball, it does feel like CJ Stroud hasn't necessarily maybe had the weapons to be able to throw the deep ball, but between Jalen Knoll being back, who he's connected with on some nice deep balls, and Booty that kind of being his specialty, I think that's something else to watch with CJ Stroud, is that the deep ball appears to be back and he has another option there.
I didn't expect Sean to really want a Kayshon Booty jersey. I also didn't expect Reggie to reveal to us that he's got a Ben McDaniels jersey. Talking about the development of Kayshon Booty. Interesting. I do want to say one thing about the player.
Not a great selling jersey, by the way. The
not a great not,
position. Market inefficiency. That's why you go there. You can get it for cheap. Yeah.
The being able to give up a Jalen Reed to get Booty, and I understand it's 1 year right now for Booty. It's his final year of his rookie deal, and Jalen Reed has 2026, 2027, 2028 on his deal. And like, I think we understand that. I felt strongly that Jalen Reed had a chance to be a good football player. It seems like they did too, because they put him on the field last year with minimal training camp. You can feel good about making a deal like that, giving up a potentially promising young player, because you have built a monster around, basically that player. Like, you brought in Reed Blankenship to start in front of him. Reed Blankenship's still here, like, and will be here for a couple of seasons. You drafted Kamari Ramsey this year, and he's looked impressive in the preseason, so that helps you from a depth standpoint. And at some point, MJ Stewart's going to return. So I know this is like, hey, a piece of the defensive depth that they were going to count on. You have options to replace him. And he was a depth piece because you found a starter in front of him with Reed Blankenship. So it's a good job from a roster composition standpoint to have that player, as over the weekend Mike Vrabel went to the podium and complained that they didn't have enough depth on their team. And then they add Jalen Reed. And could Jalen Reed turn into a nice player for the Patriots in the next couple of years? He certainly could.
I hope he does.
I hope he does. Yeah, that's great. Like, Kayshon Booty's going to help the Houston Texans a lot more in 2026, then Jalen Reed is going to help the Houston Texans.
By the way, Sean, you can use this because this is right up your alley. Someone in our chat on SNL gave us the fact of this trade. All these facts we're throwing out, the fact of this trade, this is mm-hmm. you're gonna love this.
Okay.
Cody, lay it out for him.
Kayshon Booty and Jalen Reed were the same number draft pick in the draft.
Really?
Yes.
They were both in the sixth round. What number?
They were both sixth round picks, and they were both the 187th selection in the draft.
I was hoping for 199. That was Tom Brady.
How about that? Both 187.
Okay.
They were both the 187th player in the draft.
Now, I know this has happened before because Goff and Stafford were both number one, but I don't know if it's happened that
187, though.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Do you guys know Cecil Shorts and Seth Payne were the same selection in the draft?
Oh.
Yeah, 114th. Yeah.
Can I also say, this is pursuant to nothing. And obviously, yeah. I'm with you guys on all of the Jalen Reed things. I am happy to have one fewer Jalen / Jaden on this team. It was whooping my ass.
Very fair. So, well, you got. Well, I hope you're probably happy about Jaden then too. Okay, there you got two. There you go.
Oh yeah, you got him out of there.
There you go.
I called him Jalen a few times in the midst of this ACL injury. So,
watch your back, Noel. Reggie's coming for you.
And no kidding, or Petrie. Yeah. Reggie's got like a Petrie voodoo doll, and he's stabbing it with his pen.
Hey, don't say that too much. People gonna think it's true.
All right. Well, the bottom line is, I think the goal is the Super Bowl this year. The goal is winning a Super Bowl. Kayshon Booty helps you far more towards that end than Jalen Reed does. No disrespect to Jalen Reed. I think that's the bottom line. You need a rose because of this injury. So I don't think they're trading. I don't think they're making this trade if Jaden Higgins is still healthy. You know what I mean?
Like, I am also kind of surprised that, like, God, I feel like I always find a way to work Noah Brown into conversations, and I'm just I don't know why. I just can't quit him, even jersey. Though he got released this week. Oh, the Noah Brown jersey. I mean, now I'm going full authentic, customized. But I do. It is kind of weird, and I'm obviously not connected to New England, like, as far as. But it feels weird that even with AJ Brown, you couldn't find a useful spot for this guy, like, to help you in some way, shape, or form, based on the fact that it's not like it's a lot of volume and he was there for you in the playoffs and stuff like that. And it feels like when the Texans brought in Stephon Diggs, and there's obviously other reasons like availability and stuff, and they just unnecessarily got rid of Noah Brown, who had decent chemistry with the quarterback. I am a little bit surprised that, like, people are like, well, Kayshon Booty's down the depth chart. I'm like, okay, well, let me look at New England's receivers. Okay. All right. I mean, you can't find a spot for him. It does feel a little bit kind of surprising there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was Cody. You made the case last week about the Patriots. Why would the Patriots help the Texans? So that's what my son does. When there's a move made with the Texans or any team, he just sends a text with the name. I get a text from him, Kayshon Booty. That's all it said. And so that's how I found out.
It's basically Mike Meltzer.
Yes, it is. Yeah, the channel. Yeah, it must be a lawyer thing.
It's actually new stuff that you can trace. Mike Meltzer will just send you like a Greg Popovich, and it's like, wait, what?
Landry,
2005
Cody,
or something.
Brett Saberhagen, like what? I think I can answer that question for you, Sean.
Yeah.
And Landry, like. Kyle Williams, one of the rookies from last year.
Yeah.
He's had a nice preseason, and I wonder if him coming on has allowed them to kind of look and say, okay, like, could we get somebody that helps us at a different spot for Booty because we trust Kyle Williams now? So that's my thing. There's got to be some team out there that's like, you know, well, Booty could have helped us. Why didn't we go get him? Like, I'm sure there's some coach.
Cole?
Yeah, there's some coach sitting around like, hey, why didn't my GM trade a backup and go get Booty and put him on my team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it certainly helps, and it gives you more options creates it recreates a roster discussion that occurred prior to Jaden Higgins' injury.
Well, so let's talk about that here in a second. What do they do at wide receiver? But before we do that, let's tell them about Prize Picks, Cody.
Prize Picks is the best and easiest way to play daily fantasy. Daily fantasy, you're making predictions more or less. You sign up with the code HMA. You play your first $5, and if you win, you get $150 in bonus lineups, which, if you had followed the collective last week and it was your first entry, you would have been a winner and gotten the $150 in bonus lineups. We took care of our business. Let's do it again for the folks. Let's put one together, gentlemen. The Prize Picks board is available to you. You've got the WNBA. You've got UFC. You got Major League Baseball. Tennis, don't do it, Reggie. Soccer, don't do it today, Reggie. Boxing, whatever you want. Who's starting off, gentlemen?
Let's go Hits Allowed. I'm hoping that he's up there. Go down. Is Jose Urquidy available? Jose Urquidy. For the Olympics.
Are you available? Old school.
He is.
More than 4.5 hits right there. It's a Red Devil, but you know what? I'm feeling a little bit feisty, so I'm going to go with the Red Devil. More than 4.5 hits allowed, even though he is going against the dog-butted Rangers lineup. But we're going with it.
Wow. That is a name I've not heard in a very long time. Who's next?
I'll go. I'm going to go with college football. I'm going to go the Ireland game, TCU and North Carolina. I'm going to go Jeremy Scott of TCU, more than 35.5 receiving yards in that game.
Okay. I like it, Shawnee. Getting into some week zero college football.
I love it. I'm so excited.
What do you got for me, Reggie?
Well, since I'm not allowed to do tennis or soccer, bring me to the WNBA, please. And thank you. Give me Ryan Howard of the Atlanta Dream. Giving me more than 18 and a half points versus the Los Angeles Sparks.
That might be my favorite sentence ever uttered on the collective. Well, since I can't do tennis and soccer, give me the WNBA.
That's right. That's right. Ryan Howard. There you go.
Okay. There we go. All right. I'm going back to college football just like Shawnee. Okay. I'm going to put it on your radar here. I'll put it on your radar. We're going with passing touchdowns. CJ Bailey is a guy that a lot of the draft nerds have like as a, hey, he can rise up the quarterback boards. Okay. Just in case the Texans might need a quarterback in the future. Just keep your eye on CJ Bailey. We're going more than 1.5 passing touchdowns against Virginia this week. It's a flex play. You just need to get 3 out of 4 to get your $150 in bonus line since it's your first time playing. Sign up with that code HMA. I like our entry today, so I'm putting 10 in.
Did we go 3 for 4 or 4 for 4 last week?
We went 3 for 4 twice last week.
Okay. Did I mess up? Who messed up?
I don't know.
I just want to do my part, man.
He wants accountability.
You've
done plenty.
No. It's all about my own personal accountability.
You've done plenty. It was rich.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right, cool. Prize Picks. Use code HMA. Do we have any super chats, Cody?
Yes, we do. We do have all the way from Canada. Best Believe 277 asks, better wide receiver 2 year in the AFC South, Brian Thomas Jr. or Kayshon Booty? I would make a sound argument that neither of them are actually the wide receiver 2 for their team just yet.
I would say
that Parker Washington and Jacoby are the 1-2, and I would say here it's Noll or Hutchinson until proven otherwise. We got to see. So
I would predict that Brian Thomas Jr. has a better year than Booty. I feel strongly he's going to bounce back.
If the Jags wanted to trade the Texans Brian Thomas Jr. for Kayshon Booty straight up, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you answer the question.
Yeah.
No takesies, backsies.
Yeah. So thank you from Canada for the super chat. That's good.
There you go. All right, let's keep it moving. And this is an easy segue from what we were just talking about. So Kayshon Booty going to be in the building here shortly. That room, the pre-trade looked like it had kind of solidified what it was going to look like because of the injury to Higgins, because of Tank Dell's glacial pace return from injury. I feel pretty strongly Tank's going to have some sort of injury reserve designation heading into the season, whether it's a season ender or a designated to return. I don't think Tank Dell is going to be on the 53 in week one. So that made it pretty easy just to go, okay, well, Collins, Hutchinson, Noel, those are your top three. Justin Watson's the vet in the room. And then Jared Wayne and Lewis Bond, who if Higgins and Dell were both healthy, were guys that were probably just fighting to maybe make it as a seventh guy, or if, you know, maybe come back on the practice squad. All of a sudden, they're both in line to possibly make the team. Now you got Kayshon Booty in the room. So what do the Texans do now? This is one of those situations, guys, where whoever the names we're talking about, they're competing just as much with a sixth linebacker or a fifth safety or whatever it may be as they are the other wide receiver in this conversation.
Yeah, I would say that Jared Wayne has put his best foot forward, but I think he's basically he's a guy that they would like to keep around. And he's probably on the outside right now, although it might be a little bit risky. I call it a WAP player, wave and pray that he ends up back on your roster. So I would say it's probably Jared Wayne on the outside. And then I think the six are pretty set in stone.
Yeah, so you have Bond making the team as a six receiver.
They're not letting Bond go. I see no way that they allow that to happen.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that it's six. Honestly, though, because you don't have Higgins, who is as versatile, I wondered if they would want to go deeper just to have more versatile, different styles of receiver. But it feels like it'd be hard to justify you having 11 pass catchers on the team as you're going into this, especially as you have claimed that you're going to be a running team. So yeah, this feels like, see if you can sneak one of these guys, as you mentioned, on the practice squad with the belief that you can elevate him as needed.
I just think that you can't get as much out of a seventh wide receiver with the way that this roster is put together as you can putting a player in a different position somewhere else. Is it a 10th offensive lineman? Is it an additional back? Is it a linebacker? Like you said, Sean, would you rather Jared Wayne be on this team on the 53-man roster or Noah Whittington? I would rather Noah Whittington be on the team. I think when you start to do the roster gymnastics, it becomes pretty easy to say, hey, this seventh wide receiver, Bond, Wayne, whoever it is, not as valuable on a Sunday as this guy over here, maybe on defense, at safety like that. I think that's the biggest thing fighting them. I have Bond and have had Bond ahead of Wayne for a while, so I still lean that way. I also feel like it would be more difficult to get and put Bond on your practice squad than to put Jared Wayne on your practice squad.
Yeah, when you're a good team, and the Texans are a good team, sometimes you cut players that are good players, that had good camps. There's only 53 spots on the roster, so it's never going to work out perfectly. I did a mock 53 today for the Houston Press for tomorrow, which I just remembered I need to go back and edit. We have not mentioned that Dylan Horton is done. It sounds like possibly done for the season with an Achilles tear. That's the fear.
Shut up, Cody.
I'll wait for additional reports.
Okay. So I did a 53 for the Houston Press. It's interesting, the linebacker room, I don't know that any of those guys behind Aziz and Henry Toa have distinguished themselves at all. And yet I think there's like four guys after them that are going to make the team strictly because of special teams. I think Woodaz and Hummel and Hansen and Jamal Hill are all guys they view as incredibly valuable special teamers. And I think they hope one or two of them emerge as linebackers until they get a chance maybe to shop off of other teams' rosters. I can't imagine them keeping seven receivers. The only time I can remember the Texans keeping seven receivers was a couple years ago when the seventh one was your kick returner. And none of these guys are returning kicks for them other than Noel, who's already on the team. He's not a fringe guy. If the kick returner were a fringe player, then yeah, you keep it and he's labeled a wide receiver, but he's there essentially as a fourth specialist to go with your kicker, punter, and your snapper. So I don't think there's anybody like that. If you gotta let Jared Wayne go and hope and pray that he makes it through waivers, then that's what you do. That's what teams that have built up a roster have to do sometimes.
They had seven wide receivers last year with Braxton Berrios. And again, you mentioned it, super special teams forward.
Yeah.
But there was also some chaos on the roster elsewhere. They broke camp with two tight ends last year. They broke camp with three safeties last year. Yeah. That's not the case this year. They've got guys that have played good football for them that are going to be on the roster at those positions. They're going to have four tight ends more than likely.
Yeah.
They're not going to have two. So it's clipping that seventh wide receiver is super easy when you've got spots at other positions.
Yeah. I think linebacker's a disposable position on this team for a number of reasons. Number one, I think they play with Petrie in their base defense ideally. So there's that. And I also think British Brooks is kind of like a linebacker. So a lot of times we say this linebacker just plays special teams. I think on special teams, British Brooks is like one of your best guys, and he's basically playing the role that a linebacker would. So I would be surprised for Jamal Hill to make the team. Maybe they let him make the team, but I would actually be kind of surprised. I think the fact that British Brooks is back and he's fully participating and Jalen Reed's gone, and I think they were rotating before British Brooks got hurt as the personal protector. I think British Brooks can essentially be looked at the way you would a linebacker who just plays special teams.
I mean, but even with that, British Brooks, it's not like British Brooks is new to the team. British Brooks has been on the team and they've still carried six. I think that's like a level of comfort. And your man Frank Ross, he got a little bit of pull around here. I feel like he deserves to have a little bit of what he wants.
Who's he pounding the table for of this linebacker group, though?
I mean, he seems like some of these cats in here. I mean, we would have to ask him. I can't speak for him.
I think Hummel's done a good job, and he was wearing the dot the other day. So I think that goes a long way in the dot. But as far as By the way, was there anyone more hyped up than Mapu? I mean, best of luck to you, my friend. But yeah, Mapu, he's not on the squad. But yeah, I do wonder if Frank Ross is really pounding the table for any of these guys. But you also have Woodes with the injury, so maybe that allows Jamal Hill to hang around for a little bit. Yeah.
The thing I think about Woodes, though, is linebacker is one of those positions that they could play with a club. You know what I mean? Like
he is a club guy. He does feel like a club guy.
Get that surgery, go ahead and wrap that arm up, and then get back out here and hit people.
You know? You guys need to interview him after practice and ask him if he's a club guy.
I asked him if he was a big full-size water bottle to class guy. I said, you look like you got a guy who bring like a full-size water bottle to class. He was very offended. But hey, he looks
so that's a no.
He said he hid it in his backpack.
But he it was a water bottle, not a full jug. And he was like, wait, full jug guy? I was like, yeah, that should be like a full jug. Like
with the handle?
Yeah, with the tank top.
And he holds it like this.
Yeah, he's got a tank top on, just lifting.
Guys in the middle of English lit. Yeah.
I'm not. I've gone to college with some full water jug dudes. It's always like a football player. Once you know he lifted, usually got the gear on too.
All right. So it sounds like we are. It sounds like as a collective, it's that six is the consensus here, not seven.
Which sure. and everybody's bond over Wayne, correct?
Yeah.
I am. I'm hoping for that. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you were rooting against Jared Wayne. Wow.
I'm getting a Lewis Bond jersey. That's what I'm doing, man. Yeah.
It's a big order from Fanatics. Booty, Bonds.
Yep. I'm going to have a whole wide receiver room. Yes. All right. Hey, Cody, we want to tell the people about SeatGeek?
Certainly. We're talking about Sean getting jerseys. You want to get tickets? Yeah, SeatGeek can do that for you. It is the best ticketing app around. 10% off tickets on SeatGeek with the code Collective 10. Here's more. About the best. Want to go watch the Houston Texans? Get your tickets with SeatGeek. Maybe it's your favorite college football team. Get those tickets with SeatGeek. That band you've always wanted to see? Go to the concert with our friends at SeatGeek. The number one ticketing app has over 70,000 different events, from concerts, plays, to the sporting events you want to go to. SeatGeek has you covered. And right now, Collective 10 is going to get you 10% off your next set of tickets from SeatGeek. And this home slate for the Houston Texans, oh my goodness, look at the fantastic opponents coming to Reliance Stadium. The Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals. Maybe you want to watch the Texas showdown between the Dallas Cowboys and the Texans. You've got all of it on SeatGeek. Authenticated NFL tickets, the SeatGeek buyer guarantee. You don't want to miss out on your 10%. Use that code COLLECTIVE10. That's 10% off any tickets with the code COLLECTIVE10. Click that link in the description. Download the app. It'll autofill the code. And if it doesn't, COLLECTIVE10 gets you that 10% off your tickets. Thank you, SeatGeek, for 10% off my next set of tickets with the code COLLECTIVE10. Hit that description, Collective 10. Get your 10% off your tickets to whatever you need to see. SeatGeek's gotcha.
All righty. Let's keep it moving as we roll on here on the Texans Collective on a Monday. Hey, by the way, the second show this week is going to be on Thursday. We should mention that since Landry and Cody are going to be in North Carolina at the joint practice. We'll talk a little bit about that before we get out tonight, what you guys are looking forward to seeing in North Carolina. But make a note, if you're a regular viewer or if you're telling friends about it, the Wednesday show this week is pushed back a day. Same time, just different day. It'll be Thursday at 6 o'clock this coming week. Okay, offensive line. We got to see everybody in that second preseason game against the Raiders. It looks like right now the leaders in the clubhouse, left to right, would be Ariante Ursery, Keelan Rutledge, center Evan Brown, Ed Ingram, and then Trent Brown at right tackle. Your two big ticket signings, Wyatt Teller, big ticket by Texan standards with this free agency period. Wyatt Teller and Braden Smith are backups right now. On the one hand, that's a lot of money to spend on some backups. On the other hand, boy, the second layer of this depth chart for the offensive line, I feel a lot more comfortable with that than I do the one that they had last season for the Houston Texans. Where are you guys on the offensive line right now? Do you think what we saw out there against the Raiders last Thursday night, is that the five, barring any unforeseen health issues, that's the five we're going to see against Buffalo in week one?
Start us off, offensive line guy.
If we see them, yes, Sean, if we see them against Carolina, then we see them against Buffalo. Ursary at left tackle, Trent Brown at right tackle, Keelan Rutledge at left guard, Ed Ingram at right guard, and then Evan Brown at center. And it just seems like they're more comfortable with the overall output of Brown and center combined with Rutledge at left guard than Teller at left guard and Rutledge at center. So joint practice Wednesday, they run those guys out there trying to block Derek Brown and protect C.J. Stroud in that. Then I think they'll run them out there trying to block Ed Oliver and protect C.J. Stroud at Reliance Stadium against the Buffalo Bills. That's I don't know how it would change barring an injury, which is exactly what happened last year when they had the O-line set for weeks heading into the season. Ed Ingram got dinged. They changed everything before week one, which was idiotic, but they didn't have enough depth last year that they trusted. You have a little bit more trusting depth this year, to kind of your point, Sean, but they did kind of around this time last year, you know, maybe a little bit before, they'd settled. They had the guys, and it feels like now preseason game, Saturday practice, Monday practice, joint practice, that's enough for me to think that that's going to be week one against Buffalo.
Well, I think it, yeah. Go ahead, Reg, my bad.
No, it's all good. On top of that, right, like, you're right. I think that we saw them actually move guys against the Raiders, all the caveats that are necessary there. When they brought out the seconds, it was kind of interesting to me that they didn't have Wyatt Teller on the left side there either. They had him on the right side, which makes me wonder if they're looking at him and saying, how do we get the best out of him? Because right now what we've seen has not been the Wyatt Teller that we were bargaining for. So, yeah, no, I think that the starting five is the starting five that we have seen. I'm good with that. And also to the point that you were making, Sean, about how much they pay, I'm comfortable with it because this is the way the competition should go. Not the competition of last year where you get a whole bunch of just guys and hope that the competition raises the level. This year they got a whole bunch of dudes that ostensibly could do the job and saw which of those actually were the best. And so I feel better about the process here. And ultimately, actually, I feel pretty good about the results of what they have, but we have to see the efficacy on the field. I'm just a lot more confident going into the season this year than last year that they might be able to actually do the things that they say the offensive line should do.
Yeah, I just don't think you can start both of those guards. I don't think you can start Ed Ingram and Wyatt Teller. You might eventually get to that point. I just don't think, based on what we've seen, that that's like a healthy recipe. It was kind of interesting. Cody brought this up a lot where Wyatt Teller was a right guard, and then you had it was just weird. You're moving him to the left. It was a weird thing all in itself, but I have no issue with this. And quite frankly, we really shouldn't be surprised if Wyatt Teller's best ball is behind him for a number of reasons. Number one is father time. It's a natural thing. And that's kind of what I asked him about. Like, you've had two straight down years in Cleveland, and this is kind of the point where naturally, and more times than not, understandably, you have a decline in play. It just kind of happens. Like, it's kind of like that. So that's number one. Number two is, I mean, this is the same organization that in 2024 gave Shaq Mason an extension. He was terrible. They brought in Lakin Tomlinson, gave him the starting job with no competition. He was terrible. He didn't even last the whole season. So the odds would be on your side that perhaps, whether it's Ingram, whether it's Teller, they would not bat 1,000 when it comes to guards. So I'm with you, Reggie. I don't freak out about the amount of money because I think it is true competition. I think you could do a much better, a much worse depth-wise. But the one question I do ask is, how do these guys handle not starting? Because Nick Caserio did set the precedent of, well, Cam Robinson's not starting, so we want him to be able to go play some more. Like, how does Braden Smith handle that? I think he'll handle it okay. How does Wyatt Teller handle that? That's something to watch, too. With veterans who are used to starting football games, how do they handle it? And you also had Caserio last year set the precedent that, hey, we just want him to – I asked him, like, what's the point of that? Well, we just want him to play. And is that going to be the same thing with them? So I think that's something to monitor if they don't start.
When you – Landry, when you say how they handle it, are you talking more about, like, do they become disrupted behind the scenes, or how do they handle unpredictability of what their workload is, you know, like, as opposed to knowing I'm going to be starting every week, as opposed to, you know, having to be ready in a pinch to go out there in the third quarter if Keelan Rutledge gets dinged or something like that?
I just think from a human element, like, I'm not sitting here saying that it's a soft mindset or anything. I'm just saying, like, if I did something for 8 years straight and I was a starting caliber player, and all of a sudden I moved my entire family, which Braden Smith and Wyatt Teller both did, and it's hot as hell and I'm in a different situation and I'm not starting, like, how do you handle that? Does your performance dip? Do you get pissed off? I think there's a number of ways to kind of look at it.
To all of the above, yeah.
And that's not like wussification. I'm not sitting here saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, like, that's a lot to take. And, I mean, it's kind of the realization that maybe I'm not what I once was. So just how do they handle it? And last year, I don't know what Cam Robinson did or didn't do, but they did say, you know, we want him to get to go play some more. Lakin Tomlinson was like, I'm going to be a backup. So they handled it different there. Just it's a new thing for both Braden Smith and Wyatt Teller. If they're not starting, it's a different situation. I just think from a human element, how do they react?
Mm-hmm. I do think that while the situation is similar, those guys ultimately, like Tomlinson lost his job as the season went on. Robinson basically lost it before the season got going. Like, both those were 1 year commitments, and Robinson wasn't cheap, but Lakin Tomlinson was, you know, a small investment. Teller and Smith are both multi-year commitments. And I do wonder if, hey, you got beat out. We told you coming in, you know, competition, and you guys will decide who starts and not us. But we have compensated you to just be ready for when your opportunity presents itself. It's worth noting, Ed Ingram got dinged up last year and missed a little bit of time at the beginning of the season, caused him to shuffle everything around. And I know Keelan Rutledge played a lot in college, but Keelan Rutledge played through a lot in college as mm-hmm. well. And I do wonder if that is something that is more difficult to do at the NFL level on a week-in, week-out basis. While those guys are potentially not in the starting lineup, keeping them calm and on board in case you need them sooner rather than later, that would be a positive for the Texans as the season gets started.
Well, and you're just mentioning the guards. Look at who Braden Smith is backing up.
Yeah.
You know, like, Trent Brown has way more unhealthy seasons than he has healthy seasons, including last year when he didn't start playing until week 10, and then he wasn't there in the New England game in the playoffs. So,
and he's also your backup left tackle, to where if something happens there, he goes to left and you're immediately in at right too.
Yeah. Yep. And so, there's a good chance Braden Smith gets on the field. Now, Trent Brown has come back in much better shape this year than he did last. And I know last year he's coming off an injury, so this isn't shade over the shape he came in last year, but he made a spoken, concerted effort to come in much better shape. And it seems like he's been committed to that. So he's an older guy, you know, the body has to cooperate, obviously. But I think both these guys are going to get on the field, even if they're backups. So I think they're incredibly valuable. Do you guys have Blake Fisher making the team right now?
No,
you don't.
I do.
You do.
Because of the Trent Brown thing. Cause he is, like, you could say he's third string right tackle and left tackle, but I think as a result of the previously mentioned Trent Brown thing, I think you have to perhaps have him on the side, but I'm not going to bet on it or anything like that. The other thing for Wyatt Teller, though, is be on standby, brother. Like, if you're better at right guard than you are left guard, I'm telling you, let's just watch Ed Ingram the first few weeks and we'll see what people are saying and what you see. I would, if I were Wyatt Teller, I would keep that helmet buckled up with Ed Ingram playing right guard right now.
Yeah. Yeah, all of those points very well made, on top of the fact that, hey, man, y'all not playing for 17 games, you're playing for 20, which is a much larger, harder load on the offensive line. Plus, if I would put up D'Amico Ryans versus any coach or really any person in the league when it comes to getting them whatever messaging they want into their players. So I think that when you talk about the mentality of these dudes, I would bet that D'Amico Ryans is the right dude to get that messaging, whether it's, hey, man, we're going to need you for the long length of the season. Hey, man, we paid you well in order to be here and help compete and raise the level. You're adding to this team by making sure the guy ahead of you is on his P's and Q's as well. Like, whatever that messaging ultimately is, I believe D'Amico Ryans is the guy to get that through to these guys in a way that it actually works.
I would also like to say, too, while he's going to get the chance here and the opportunity, like, Evan Brown is no sure thing at the center spot. This was a kind of an afterthought addition in the free agency process for next to no money. In the past couple of seasons in Arizona, they had guys who had never played center play center instead of him when he had center experience. And so it's like Evan Brown very well and very easily could start the year as the center for this team and quickly not work out. Like he's got the ability to explode and not have what they need as much as Ed Ingram or what maybe Teller already has. It's just less financially painful because he makes $2 million to, you know, if he doesn't work out, okay, you go to the next center, you move Rutledge, and then you've got, okay, back to those guards. Yeah. And then we get to test Landry's theory of can the expensive guards play together and get enough. But like that's what I think is probably the under talked about part about this offensive line conglomeration that they've put out there is, oh, well, Evan Brown's a center. And then it's like, well, Teller's a backup and Smith. And then it's like, oh, Evan Brown's a center. Like, Evan Brown might stink at center.
Yeah.
I think early results here have been, hey, it's good enough. But like Evan Brown at center is no sure thing by any means.
Well, and if it does work out with this group, you know, if they're good, or even if they're just, you know, if they're good enough, then the whole, you know, 12 million or whatever, 11 million for Braden Smith, and whatever Wyatt Teller's money is, that's way less painful if the five that are in front of them are playing well, because that's actually not, I mean, Ed Ingram got a nice deal. Trent Brown's making $7 million. There's two rookie deals, and Trent Brown is making $7 million. Evan Brown, like you said, Cody's making a few $1 million. Ed Ingram's making good money. And then you got two rookie deals out there, you know, granted second and first round rookie deals. So the total spending in the room is overall, it's not even close to what it was 2 years ago when you had Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil and the units stunk. They were terrible. So if they're, I guess my point is I don't care who the five are, as long as they're playing well. The sting of having overpaid backups is white noise to me if the five that are playing, they don't have to be a top five offensive line. They just have to be good enough to run the football and keep C.J. Stroud from getting hurt.
And this is where I think I turn into an insurance salesman. What would you pay for certain team security? Right? Like that is the question that you're asking yourself.
Yeah.
What would you have paid, especially in the offseason, for the certainty and security that you will have offensive linemen all through the season?
That's the cost of doing business. Yeah.
It's like when we talk about rookie quarterbacks and you can kind of be a little bit more aggressive. I mean, your left tackle, that's a premium position that costs money. He's on a rookie deal. Your best interior lineman is on a rookie deal. So it's a little bit reckless. I don't think it's too reckless. Like, you have guys that probably aren't matching their production with their salary, but their depth pieces. I don't think it's the worst thing. Like, no. You watch the NFL preseason, like these teams, offensive lines suck, which the Texans' third string offensive line sucks. They don't even have a chance to run a play. And a lot of those guys have that quality as their second team. The Texans have kind of pushed it back to the third team, where you see like a clear drop off from like the third team to the second.
Yeah. All right, let's hit this last one, fellas. Flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Oh,
got one super chat. Super chat here, Shawnee.
Okay.
Rich Boy Jay says, Sean, four letters, one word. Ugh.
Is that or I don't know.
It's your shirt. Sean, look down.
Huh. Oh. Oh, yeah, four letters, one word.
Oh, I didn't even see
it. Yeah, sorry.
What are we even doing here? You don't even.
My bad. I forgot I had it on. My bad.
I did the whole thing expecting you to hit the slogan.
My bad. Sorry. I'm in football mode, man. I'm focused.
Why would you embarrass me when you're wearing the shirt?
I'm sorry about that.
There you go. Oh, man. Rich Boy is now calling you a fake fan.
Not true. True at all.
All right. Fire away.
All right, let's do it. Let's talk about I like this topic, depth assessment on defense, to kind of close things out, because I told you guys I was doing my 53 today, and obviously the Texans are a better team on the defensive side of the ball than the offensive side of the ball. That's not breaking news. But I feel like the drops from the frontline guys to the depth pieces on the defensive side of the ball, Clowney helps things on the defensive line for sure. Like that position was a precipitous drop off after the first two. And I think the defensive tackles are going to be fine. But after Azeez and Henry, big drop off. After Kamari and Stingley, big drop off. After the top two safeties, you know, you just move Jalen Reed. So they're putting a lot of trust in Kamari Lassiter and MJ Stewart's health and whatnot. It feels like there's, I don't know how you guys feel about it, that defense is going to be elite if everybody stays healthy. But if there's an injury here or an injury there, to see what the ripple effect is, or if the wrong brick falls out of the wall, what it looks like, is it still elite, that kind of thing. I don't know if that's the direction you guys wanted to go with the depth assessment on defense, but this is a defense that the first layer of the depth chart is like all future, the least Ring of Honor guys with a couple Hall of Famers in there. And then after that, it's there's some drop-offs that make me a little bit nervous on that side of the ball.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to last year how lucky they were with injuries on defense. I think that's a relevant thing. The linebackers, I think, is a little bit concerning. And then I would say DN, like I was telling Stutes this today, like, it, you know, if the Clowney thing is so big, because if Dylan Horton had been your third defensive end, first of all, that's concerning on itself. But if he has a season ending injury, then you make a case that that's almost a bigger deal than the Booty trade, which I don't think is tongue in cheek. So the Clowney thing has kind of given you some comfort in that area. The D line, I feel great about, but yeah, there's obviously a drop off. I feel okay about the corners. I feel okay about him. I think we don't know what's up with Wright, if he's going to be there or not, but I feel okay about that. But I think the linebackers is a bit concerning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, linebackers is absolutely the concern. I will say I'm still a little concerned about the Dylan Horton thing, because it's not like Jadeveon Clowney is out there rushing by himself. Like in those reps, he will have somebody opposite him. And one of the things that I could at least find myself to appreciate about Dylan Horton, the ceiling wasn't very high, but he was fairly consistent. And that works when the dude on the other side is a monster like Jadeveon Clowney. I'm interested to see exactly what it looks like when you have Jadeveon Clowney and maybe the likes of like Ollie Gay, who is very inconsistent in his output. Like, how do you rush off of a guy who is he going to knife in and actually make a play, or is he going to get completely, you know, boxed out of this play? That's the curiosity I have. But this is the thing I will say about like the second team of the second line of this depth, right? And I've said this to other people who have, you know, lost their mind over the preseason performances, is thankfully this is not like a baseball team where that guy gets up to bat by his lonesome. He's playing alongside with the rest of the starters that remain there. So unless you have two or three injuries on the defense where now you have multiple of these guys playing at the same time, you should be able to cover them up. Like, that's the benefit of having guys that are this damn good, is that if you have somebody else that's in here, obviously you can't cover people up entirely, but you can give them a little bit of help or shade things one way or another, especially when you have guys that are this damn good at their job. Yeah, I'm not concerned really in a big way for when we talk about the depth and the fall off from ones to twos.
I like Jalen Smith probably a lot more, I guess, than Sean maybe did. I understand, you know, going to corner four if it's right, or if it's Tremont Smith, like that doesn't look good. Find me a corner four in the league that looks good, you know. But I like Jalen Smith. I feel like he's showcased the speed. He's had some nice moments in practice. He was on Nico Collins today in a pretty tough moment in the red zone, and it forced Stroud to kind of make a high throw because he had some good coverage. So I know the injury last year popped up, but I feel pretty good about him. Should he have to come in a little bit for a Kamari Lasser or Derek Stingley? I don't believe defensive end four and defensive end five. I expect them to have five. I don't believe either of those players are on the roster right now. I believe that's a cut down day shop spot for this team. And, you know, maybe initially it's Ollie Gay and, you know, Dominic Robinson or something, but if the right guys become available, I wonder if defensive end four and defensive end five, four more important than five, are not on the roster right now. Because as we've noted, they play their defensive end four a lot more than most teams. So you're going to see that guy on the field quite a bit. And then I think the same thing about linebacker. There's got to be a body or two that they like at linebacker. And I did not expect this when he got hurt, but they could really use Jake Hansen back on this field, because they have not had any consistency behind Azeez Alshire and Henry To'o. And I know they like to play two linebackers so much, but every now and then they'll sneak a third linebacker on the field. So, you know, with Wood as his thumb injury, the unimpressiveness of the rest of them, you know, hurry back Jake Hansen, which again is not something I expected to see. And that's not the type of player I thought that they would really need for the linebacker room. And here we are, they need that guy in the linebacker room.
Yep. Yeah, they're going to be doing some shopping on the defensive side of the ball, I think, on cutdown day next Sunday. Before we get out, you guys are on your way to North Carolina, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning.
Traveling up tomorrow morning. Okay, so Can you, you guys are going to be two of the, two sets of feet on the ground up there. I don't know how many other people covering the Texans are going to be traveling there, but I would recommend highly that the audience follow both of you guys, because I'm sure you'll be, whatever it is you're allowed to communicate from those practices, I'm sure you will be, I'm guessing you guys will be doing that, right?
Yeah. We'll talk about it on the show. We're not play-by-play practice guys. We're not play-by-play practice guys. Never have been. It's not really our thing, but we will break it down on SNL in depth, play-by-play, everything else. So we got
okay. So what are you guys looking for up there? Like, what, you know, I'm sure you're going up there with the, you know, short list of things that you're hoping to see. What are they?
I want to see what the offensive line looks like. I would say, like, what are they throwing out there? I want to see if we see a Kayshon Booty sighting. If he's out there, just kind of how he's vibing, what he's doing. I'll be taking a look at that. And then I think I just want to see how they handle themselves, because I think that the Raiders were clearly outclassed. It was kind of like a little brother type of situation. The Panthers are a step up from the Raiders. So I want to see how they handle themselves in that situation with kind of a step up in competition. And I think joint practices are the best way to measure more so than preseason games. So that's what I'll be looking for. Mm-hmm.
Derek Brown, the defensive tackle for the Carolina Panthers, is very good at what he does. One of the better ones. And I'd like to see, you know, him and Rutledge square off a little bit, but that interior offensive line, we've gone over on the show. They start with a murderer's row of defensive tackles to begin the season. So that is something definitely want to watch. I can't imagine, like, I would upgrade how I feel about Booty if he practices in the joint practice. I can't imagine he's going to. So by virtue of him maybe not going, hey, more opportunity for Xavier Hutchinson, more opportunity for Justin Watson. And then I really want to see Jalen Noll in some live action opposite, you know, not the Texans defense, because he looks, I don't know how, but he looks quicker and faster than last year. Yeah. And I'm very excited to see more from Jalen Noll, because it took forever for us to kind of see him on the field here in training camp after he was one of the best players on the field in minicamp and OTAs. So I want to see it against the Panthers and see him go out there and showcase that speed and quickness.
I think Booty should participate in one-on-ones and stuff, and then just not team. Let's just get a little glimpse of that. And then Stingley's going to say, hey, Panthers guy, get off to the side. I got a grudge match.
Yeah, those should be fun one-on-one battles in practice, I would imagine.
By the way, our prize picks. So I had Urquidy more than 4.5 hits because I think he stinks. The good news is I was right. He stinks. He just had 38 pitches in the first inning and allowed 2 runs. The bad news is he only allowed 1 hit, hit a batter, and walked 2. So, yeah.
Did they pull him?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet, but we are playing.
Okay, so he allowed 2 runs, but he didn't. Yeah, so no, not many hits.
No, 1 hit, passes. He hit a batter, and he walked 2. So, yeah, I don't know what the pitch was.
Your process was good. Your process was good.
Results not great.
Your process was he sucks, and that was accurate. He's just not sucking the right way.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
And it's y'all very unintentionally salacious on this.
Y'all be mature. Right. Y'all be mature in the chat on that. Okay. We've had enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. All right, fellas. Well, Landry and Cody, safe travels. What time will SNL be on after the joint practice?
So probably a little earlier. We're looking at probably going live after practice, probably within like 90 minutes. That's our goal. So we're gonna try to get there. Just depending on when they stop and what their logistics are at the stadium, we're gonna figure that out. It's a hard old football day. We're just going.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're not going to the game on Friday, right?
No preseason. We're practice guys. We're football guys.
We're gonna watch the practice. We're gonna do the show. We're gonna take a bath in the airport bathroom and get on the plane.
No. You got to shower at a truck stop on the way to the airport.
I'm in. Sure.
Yeah.
Might see Jed York in there.
That's a trailer park, not a truck park.
Well, you can find, hey, there's a few truck stops where he could probably find what he's looking for.
I'm sure he could.
Might have gotten that discount.
That's the most embarrassing part. You're a billionaire owner and you're dumpster diving in some like classified ad $140 website.
That was the whole thing, was like the Robert Kraft, like it was like, okay, whatever. Like if it wasn't like anything forced or anything, like, okay, yeah, I'm not shocked by it, but like Jed York, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Go Irish.
There's going to be some people Googling what the hell happened to Jed York.
Oh, they should. Do it. Google mugshot. Jed York mugshot.
You should play Grant Cohn's dad with Jed York when he was like grilling him when he first took over at the press conference. Look up Lowell Cohn and Jed York, where he's like, ask him something. He says, I don't know what you want me to say. And then Cohn's like, say something. Like he's just like completely grilling. I'll send you the link after this.
Send it to me. Yeah, I need to see that.
It's right up your alley.
Send it to me. It's right up your alley. It sounds like it.
I love it.
All right, boys. Well, this was fun. Reggie. Oh yeah, Reggie. As long as we're talking about hoes.
Yeah, they're doing well. I just felt like I needed to get this in, and so if you'll oblige me, Kayshawn, booty, rocking everywhere. Thank you.
Yeah, we have.
You're welcome. You're welcome. all right, boys. Have a safe trip to North Carolina tomorrow. You can catch Landry. You doing a 10:30 tonight?
Of course. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You already know
Kayshawn, where Kayshawn, it's going to be booty heavy, I bet, right?
Yeah, and D'Amico was very disappointed in the performance today at practice. He was very upset.
Yep. Well, that'll cover that as well. So that'll be 10:30 tonight, the Locker Room with Landry Locker on YouTube. Cody, what do you got going on Houston football?
We got the booty breakdown on Houston football.
There's no other way to
say it.
I'm so mad it's a contract year for him. I needed 3 years of this.
I'm going to give him LeBron treatment. He's getting first name from now on. This is just getting too sophomoric for me. He's Kayshawn. Yeah.
Right. That's what I thought, too. This is very immature.
The observation.
That is his family name, sir.
From practice. And then on SNL, we'll have a conversation with Justin Watson coming your way this week. And if things work out, a conversation with the best offensive lineman on the team from Carolina.
Oh, okay, good. We had him on the post-game show last week. He was he's fun. Very serious, though. But fun.
Sean's talking about Jake Andrews, by the way. We're talking about
Yeah, he was a good time. We had Jake Andrews on the post-game show. No, we didn't. Keelan Rutledge. All right, and Reggie, 10 a.m., everybody can catch you tomorrow on In the Loop, right?
I believe so. God willing.
Let me go check. Yeah. That's on the free Odyssey app, 95.7 The Fan, of course. And you can catch me 6 a.m. tomorrow with Seth Payne on 95.7 The Fan as well. So we'll see all of you Thursday this week, not Wednesday. Thursday this week, we will over-communicate that on our socials. So no Wednesday show, Thursday, 6 p.m. And we'll break down what Cody and Landry saw at joint practice. We'll take a look ahead to the final preseason game. And who knows, maybe we get more moves by the Texans between now and then as well. So until then, give us a like, give us a subscribe, support Prize Picks, support SeatGeek, support our sponsors, tell a friend. Until we see you on Thursday night, Cody, end stream.